Baseball and softball had their opening weekends this past week. Both men and women's basketball are ranked for the first time this season, and Concordia has yet another GPAC Athlete of the Week. We'll break it all down for you today on the fifth ever episode of Talkin' Dogs. I'm Cohen Carpenter here with Kai Ulbrich. Kai, how you doing?
Doing fantastic today. The weather's been great. The Bulldogs are performing, so it's been a good week. Back from being sick. So, ready to get back to it.
Yeah, it's been great ever since Paxwani Phil said that spring is coming early and we had no more winter. So, I'm very glad to have him in our lives. But we had some action, track and field, and some wrestling, and we'll get into the rest of the sports later. But take us, what happened track and field?
All right. Once again, the track and field teams are ranked quite highly. So, the women back at number 2 after being ranked 3rd last week. And the men jump 3 spots to number 11, their highest ranking of the season. We'll start our track and field action off with the Fred Beal Classic at Doane University. So this was February 2nd and 3rd. Some highlights from that meet. Sophomore Josie Noble took 2nd in the 600-meter dash with a 1:41.39, so nice time from her. Senior Calvin Rode took 1st in the mile with a 4:15.36. Once again, earning himself the NAIA auto qualification. Broke that down in a previous episode, so if you don't know what that is, go check out episodes 3 and 4. Senior Kaylin Freeberg took 1st place in the women's mile, the 5:03.42, and 1st in the 3,000 meters with a 10:14.58. Got the auto qualification for both. And after doing extremely well in her cross-country season, she's back at it again, killing it on the track. The Bulldogs swept the top 4 in the men's 5,000 meters with freshman Trey Robertson taking 1st place with a 15:53.88. You know, I just would not want to run a 5K on a track. I ran it in high school, the cross country on a real course, and that was bad enough. Yeah. I can't imagine on a 200 meter track. How many laps is that?
No, you gotta, I don't know, it's too many, I think.
Yeah, I think this is gotta be like 30 laps.
So. Yeah, and you can't even get music or a podcast going. It's just you and your thoughts out there.
No,
it's
scenery either, just the round.
In a circle.
Yeah, terrible. But they killed it, so kudos to them. And then senior Julie McIntyre got 1st place in the women's 5K with a 17:55.91, getting herself the auto qualification. Then freshman Zoe Walker got 2nd place in the high jump with a 5'6" jump. Sophomore Haley Miles once again took 1st place in the long jump at 17 feet, 9.5 inches, and she was injured for a little bit. So that mark, not even her best. She's got a lot more to give. She hit over 19 feet in her first meet of the season. So glad to see her back on the track and on the field. Then we'll move on to the Concordia Invite. So we had 2 meets in the last 2 weeks. Sophomore Adriana Rodenkall killing it again, 2nd place in the 60-meter hurdles at an 8.55 seconds, 1/100th off of 1st place. So probably won't be too happy about that, but still a good mark for her. Also got 2nd in the 60 meters with a 7.85 seconds. Then sophomore Kayla Kirchner got 2nd in the 200-meter dash with a 26.03. Sophomore Liam Fagan got 1st in the 400-meter dash with a 50.73. And then junior Jordan Koepke got 1st in the 400 with a 57.95. And that is an auto qualification for her. Juniors Jenna Esch and Riley Haker took 1 and 2 in the women's 800 meters with a 2:15.68 and 2:17.22 respectively. Both of them broke the meet record and got the auto qualification, so great job to both of them. Calvin Rode once again got 1st place, this time in the 1K, a 2:28.18 auto qualification. And then Freeberg was once again a 1st place, 1K with a 2:56.29, also auto. I mean, with those two, if you see them on the track, assume a 1st place coming from them. They are both killing it this season.
Yeah, I've got to break that down into American in my head. A 1K is shorter than a mile. What's that, about half a mile?
It's about I believe it's 0.61 of a mile.
0.61. So that's pretty fast then, huh?
Yeah, so you're running just over 2 times around the track.
Yeah.
2:28 is crazy.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, that's about my 800 times. Yeah. And then McIntyre won the mile once again with a 5:10.86. So there you go, 4 times around the track in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Oof.
Wild. Trey Robertson took another first place, this time in the 3K with a 9:01.12. And then Miles once again won the long jump, bit better mark this time, 17 feet 10 and 3 quarters inches. And then Joel Rath won the long jump with 23 feet 9 inches. Zach Zonner took first place once again in the pole vault with a 16 foot 8 and 3 quarters inches. No one was even within a foot of him. The second place mark was 15 feet 3 inches. That's not even Zach's best mark. Yeah. He's beat 17 feet already this season. So he's killing it. Number one in the country for pole vault. And on the shot put side, Darian Semedo got first place, 53 feet 5 and 3 quarters inches. He's a junior and got the auto qualification. Women's shot put, Abigail Gerber, auto qualifier, 45 feet and a quarter inches. Women's triple jump, Josie Noble got a mark of 37 feet 2 and a half inches. Then another auto qualifier for nationals, Abby Wolgemuth, a junior, who threw it 58 feet 4 and a half inches. That's all on the track and field side. Lots of good things happening, as usual, from both the men and the women.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, if you had any names that you know play track and you didn't hear them, you can go to athletic.net. You can look up for the standings. You can see all the entries, stuff like that, because there's just so many good athletes. This episode would be an hour long if we listed every single good athlete here at Concordia. Yeah. So feel free to go to athletic.net, look at the rest, look for your roommate, look for your friend in class. Guaranteed to be on there.
Yeah. It's a great problem to have. Just sucks that we can't shout out everyone, because I'd absolutely love to. But like you said, we'll be here all day.
Yeah. Wrestling. Wrestling, we had a win. We had a loss. What happened over there?
Yeah, so both the good and the bad. So we faced Colby Community College on the second. Beat them quite handedly, 48-6. They were a bit light on numbers. We did get ourselves 12 points off of forfeits, but the wrestlers we did actually compete with, they killed it. So we had Aiden Trowbridge, he got a forfeit, no one in his weight class. But then we had Bryson Bussinger, got the tech fall 16-1 over his opponent. Creighton Bauman got the tech fall as well, 15-0, so perfect match from him. Tracy Allen with a 16-1 tech fall. And we had Jeevan Skordis with a pin in the first 40 seconds. So lovely from him. And then going on to Barrett Brandt, the freshman, got the pin in 51 seconds. He broke the program record for pins in a season. So great to see that as a freshman. Stephen Duffy got the tech fall 15-0, minute 43 in. So got that very quickly. Hunter Weimer got the forfeit for his. And then at 285, we had Clayton Labs got the major decision 12-3. So that brings us to a score of 48. So killed it against Colby.
Killed it.
Yeah. Then moved on to Doan. They're number one in the GPAC right now, 7 in the nation, so it was always going to be a tough match. Unfortunately, didn't go our way, but we did have two standout performances. Grant Wells at 133 got the major decision 8-0 over his opponent.
Ooh.
And then the big name from this week and probably the whole season, Creighton Bauman, once again, he got the major decision 11-1 over his opponent. And Doan, like you can see, they beat us quite handily. They have some fantastic wrestlers.
For sure.
So it's great to see us getting some points on the board there. And shout out to Creighton Bauman. He got his second GPAC Athlete of the Week last week. And it's even crazier, 15-0 in duels. So he always shows up when his team needs him. Every single time.
I think when we wrap up these podcasts, maybe at the end of the semester, we definitely need to go and look at how many GPAC Players of the Week we've had throughout it, because we have had a lot. I feel like we're saying that phrase all the time.
Mm-hmm. Every episode we're having more and more.
Yep.
Great to see. So we host the GPAC Championships this Friday and Saturday, 16th and 17th. Come out and support the Bulldogs. You're here. Come out and support them. It's the championship. Championship weekend. Come out and support.
Yep.
And then we also had tennis start off their season. So women's tennis is in action. They played their first match on the 9th of February, took down Mount Marty 6-1, and then came back the next day to defeat Baker University by the same 6-1 scoreline. They're up next against Ottawa University on Friday out in Ottawa. Men's tennis, they had a bit of a rougher start to the season, losing their first two matches to Ottawa and Mount Marty. Then they bounce back to beat Baker 5-2. So they play at home this Saturday at noon against Tabor. So lots of action at home this weekend. We've got wrestling here. We've got men's tennis. I know we got some basketball games coming up. I'm not the most familiar with tennis, so I'll be there at the game on Saturday trying to learn a little bit more about the sport, how they score things.
Learn the ropes.
Yeah, so then we can have some better coverage as they get into the rest of their season.
Yeah, no, they're definitely working hard. We see them out there 6 a.m. They're in the field house getting hits in or whatever you call it. They're in the swing of things for sure now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So let's hear a little bit about basketball.
A little bit of basketball.
Interesting action over the last week.
Very interesting. So for the first time this season, both the men's and the women's team are ranked at the same time. The new poll came out. The old poll had the Concordia men's team as the number one votes getter. However, that doesn't mean that they were ranked. So essentially how that works for the uninitiated is the coaches' poll is just that. The coaches across the NAIA, they vote on who they think the best teams in the NAIA are.
Yeah.
So when you see a ranking like that, that is, I mean, it's fairly accurate. Obviously, in higher levels of collegiate sports, it's different. For college football, the D1 level, for example, they use the Associated Press. So there's different ways of doing it. But for NAIA, the coaches vote, and the coaches have them ranked. So every team gets votes. There's some teams that get votes that don't end up ranked. So how it was last month before the January 31st poll is we had the most votes outside of the top 25. So the number 25 had X amount, very few more votes than we did. But we mentioned it in our last podcast episode. You go and you beat Morningside. You go and you beat Northwestern,
yep,
who are both ranked opponents, and made the prediction last episode. It came true that men's basketball was going to be ranked in maybe the low 20s, but it's their job to get up out of the low 20s. But we're just happy to be in the rankings, and they really established why they were in the rankings. If you look at their previous games, we had a huge, huge game against Doan. It was a bit more rocky than it should have been. At one point in the first half, we had a 21-point lead. So, and if you look at the final box score, we didn't win by 21.
Yeah.
So a bit more rocky than maybe it should have been. This was Doan's 11th loss in a row. So we had beaten them handily before. We were looking to beat them handily again, and we did. But there were a few notable moments, not just the win.
Very notable moment.
I think we're on a, before I get in, I think this is we're on a 13-14 game win streak. So very impressive. With a win against Dort, when was that? Last Monday, we established first place. We were first place in the GPAC. There was there was actually a 5-game tie.
Oh wow!
The top 5 teams in the GPAC had the exact same overall record, the exact same conference record.
So everyone's beating each other.
Beating each other. But when we beat Dort, we set ourselves apart from the pack. And now we beat Doan, we really set ourselves apart from the pack. So now we have a 1 or 2 game lead.
And the DAC Wesleyan adds to the conference.
DAC Wesleyan, we had a victory over DAC West in between those two matchups. But back to the Doan game. Tristan Smith is back off of an ankle injury.
He's back.
And you may have saw him on Twitter by a few different accounts. He put up a career high at Concordia, 28 points, coming back off an ankle injury, and he had just a vicious, violent poster where he just got up in a guy's grill. The guy he dunked on was like 6'9", too.
I think violent's the perfect word for it. He gets the ball out beyond the arc, does a little fake, dribbles it in, and just slams it
just
down on that
slams
guy.
It, yeah.
No shot of blocking that.
If you read Jake Knabel's story online, if you just look up CUNE basketball, he posts like the post game and he has the reviews and stuff, and he said that Tristan Smith had no regard for humanity, which I think was a good way of
great
putting
way to put it. Yeah.
Good way of putting
off
it.
Off an ankle injury too, to be able to
off an
throw
ankle
it down
injury.
Like that.
Yes.
I can barely touch the rim on a good day, and he's doing that off an injury.
Yeah, well, that's why we're making podcasts,
exactly.
and he's out
he's
there
out on the court.
Dropping 28.
Yep.
So to go along with that, Noah Shutt, who is usually the top scorer, so it's him, it's kind of the two-headed dragon, is Tristan Smith and Noah Shutt. He dropped 25 in that Doan game. So we're looking good. We were, for the first time this season for the men, we were in the top 25, and we played like it. That was the big takeaway from the Doan
game. Very deserved ranking.
Very deserved. So they have 3 games left on the season, the regular season, I should say, before, you know, we can start looking to playoffs and postseason and stuff like that. But they're looking to finish strong, and if that's any indication, they probably will.
Mm-hmm.
Going on to the women, they also had a very exciting game against Dort that same Monday. Dort being number one in the nation. At the time, Concordia was number six in the nation. And we were the only two teams in the GPAC who were in the top 25 at all. So you had Dort at one, we were at six, and then nobody else in the GPAC. It was just a bunch of other NAIA teams. So that was a very highly anticipated matchup. We go in, and it comes down to the wire, and we end up just losing. There was no like big shot that ended it all. We were just gotten to the point of the game where you started fouling everyone, and we just lost.
They made their shots, yeah.
We lost the foul game. And, you know, talking to Coach Olson afterwards, he didn't really highlight the ending of that game so much so as he was trying to make the point that it was accumulation of the whole game, a missed shot there, a missed shot there, and we have a different story. We beat the number one team in the nation. But that doesn't happen. We go on. We play College of St. Mary. We beat them handedly.
Scored 106 points in that game.
We scored 106, and I think we played them earlier in the year. We dropped 114 or something like that. But then we go on. We play Dak West, and Dak West gives us a very – well, they gave us a run for our money, and we lost.
Yeah.
We lose to Dak West. So coming into the Dort game, we had only had two losses. Both of them were in a three-game stretch in early December. We drop a Dort game, which can be expected because Dort is the number one team in the nation.
Yeah.
Dak West is not ranked at the time that they beat us, so that's a pretty ugly loss. And if you listen to this podcast, or even if you've gone to any of the women's basketball games this season, there is a common trend in these women's losses. It is we start off very slow, and then we come back and we scratch and claw after halftime in the third quarter, and we make it a game in the fourth quarter. And you can really say the same thing for the Dak West loss. It was starting off the first quarter, they doubled us up right out of the gate. I believe, just pulling up the stats right now, close to doubled us up. First quarter, we scored 13, they scored 20. We come back, second quarter, we score 20, they score 19.
Mm-hmm.
So we start matching them. But then in the third quarter, this is actually kind of breaking from the trend. So usually you would go, we come out really flat, we get ourselves in a huge hole, and in the two games we lost in December, what would happen is we would get back, even get the lead in the third quarter, and then in the fourth quarter, we would drop it. We would collapse in the fourth. They come out of halftime, Dak West does, scores 19, we only score 11.
Oh, wow.
And then in the fourth quarter is when we turn it on. We score 31 in the fourth.
Oh my gosh.
They score 25 though. They stave off defeat, and we only drop 75. They drop 83, and that's our fourth loss of the season.
Yeah.
Not only is it our fourth loss of the season, but it's kind of unlucky, I guess you could call it. It's all four of our losses have been GPAC losses.
Yeah.
So if a few things don't go our way here down this final stretch, we could be looking at third place in the GPAC.
Yeah,
maybe.
And we're still sitting all right. Conference record of 15-4. Dort's the 19-0, but Dak West is number three in the GPAC right now with a 13-6 record. So as long as we win the next couple games, should be sitting pretty well for second place, as long as we don't, you know, lose two more games.
Yes, but Dak West was a team that we had beaten earlier in the season, so come back to bite you. It's not a great look. But with all this in mind, we're still seventh in the nation after the new coaches poll. So men are 21st, women are 7th. It's the first time this season that they've both been in the top rankings. So obviously it sucks that it was a recent loss, but it doesn't matter. We're still some of the top dogs in the GPAC. Mm-hmm. And I'm completely skipping over, but we also win the same game against Doan when we're playing at Doan. It was a close one. It was a nail biter, 74-72. But you know, you take home the dub there.
Exactly.
So it's still like you said, it's disappointing to lose. I wouldn't say there's cause for concern.
No.
So
as long as they can bounce back, like even in December or when they had that stretch of losses, came back and won like 10 in a row.
Sure.
So as long as they can bounce back like we've seen them do in the past, they should be just fine.
Yeah. But, so all well and good for basketball. They're nearing the end of the season. Hopefully going to have long runs in the postseason. But we also, just like tennis, we have some new sports starting up. And this past weekend, We had baseball and softball just have their opening weekend. Mm-hmm. They were both, actually check that, baseball was in Oklahoma, softball was in Kansas,
yep.
And they both kind of had a rough stretch of things. Do you want to start on softball? Do you have softball?
Yeah, so softball played twice, so a little doubleheader against Ottawa on February 10th. So Concordia came into the season, preseason ranking top 10, Ottawa was top 20, so with that preseason, you never know quite what's going to happen. Unfortunately, the first two games did not go our way. An 8-0 loss in the first one, and then a 10-2 loss in the second one. So obviously, same opponent. So it's not like we lost to two separate teams.
Yeah.
We lost to one team twice in the same day. So obviously, first game of the season, you can adjust things from there. I wouldn't honestly be too worried going to Evangeline University on Saturday back in Kansas City. So we're actually Kansas City, Missouri this time. But we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. But I'd say no cause for concern quite yet.
Yeah, no, that's good. And again, this is opening weekend. So same story with baseball. Now, moving on to baseball with the guys. They're sitting at a 1-2 record after an opening weekend in Oklahoma City. They played February 9th, they played a doubleheader on the 9th, and then they played against the Oklahoma City University on the 10th. They started off, their opening day was the 9th, the first game of the doubleheader, and we had first baseman Max Rhodes. He hit two long balls, and he had five RBIs in the first game of the season. Way to make your mark, but it was a 5-6 loss.
Yeah.
Next game against, so that was Oklahoma State University. Next game we have against Bellevue, Nebraska. They came up to Oklahoma as well, and pitching was a bit of an issue. We hit six batters through across four pitchers this mm-hmm. game, and we end up losing that one 7-12. So the offense was there, just the pitching wasn't.
Yeah.
And we get it all together. Oklahoma State, we play them again. So they were the first game of the doubleheader, and then we play them again February 10th, and we just smoke them 11-1. It was a blowout through and through. We had a bunch of guys with RBIs, but it's again early in the season. It's hard to really draw conclusions. We're going to break this down more as the episodes go on, but we're expecting a lot from both the baseball and the softball.
Oh yeah, for sure. Looking forward to it, because they're, you know, softball ranked coming into the season.
Yep.
Baseball bouncing back well after those first two losses. So yeah, really excited to see it.
Yeah, and those are both away games, so it'll be exciting to finally get them here back in Seward in front of a home crowd, see, you know, boost morale, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, even those two teams, they barely had any time training outside. Like, they were just able to get on the football field this week.
That's a good point. With all that, just from the few people on the baseball team that I know, it was tough because of the snow,
yeah,
and everything was frozen. It was negative 20 for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like you said, we're, you know, just walking around campus. Sometimes you'll see the baseball, softball guys out there pitching and hitting and whatever on the football field. This is really the first time they've been outside,
yeah,
just because weather hasn't permitted it. But again, good stuff across all sports, really. Looking very excited for the postseason of basketball. Very excited to wrap up wrestling. Excited to see what track and field is going to do. Everyone's doing good. It's looking to be another great season in Concordia history.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
But that'll be all for the fifth episode of Talking Dogs. Be sure to stay tuned in the future for weekly podcasts on the CUNE Sower website. In the meantime, from Cohen Carpenter and Kai Ulbrich and everyone at the Sower newspaper, have a great 2024 and go Dogs!